Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
That was good for me, but let's go ahead and give God a hand, please. Please, please. Yes, I like that. All right. Good morning, Journey. Good morning. Listen, I don't take this opportunity lightly. I'm going to dig right into the Word of God. I thank you all for coming on this morning. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. So with your devices, if you have an iPhone, tablet, or anything, and if you don't have anything, trust me, Journey Fellowship, we got you. Look at the screen behind me. All right. All right, let's go ahead and dig in. All right, Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, 14, and it reads, "Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt." But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" And God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" 14, God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am sent you. I am sent me to you.'" Thank you, God, for this opportunity. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless me. God, allow myself to die and allow you to raise up so these children of people that will be able to digest this nugget that I'm about to give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christmas is over. Amen? Y'all going to have to talk to me now. Listen. Christmas is over. And no more running around crazy, crowded places and trying to satisfy the Christmas list. It is over. But there is one more thing that we got to accomplish. And everybody know what that is. That is the New Year's resolution. Amen? Hey, see, we got a couple of people. Thank you. I picked a couple of New Year's resolutions list that people just randomly pick, and I'm just going to list a couple of them. One of them is stop procrastinating, meet new people, become more active, earn more money, start saving more money, find a significant other. Maybe this holiday was pretty cold and lonely. So I don't know. Okay, spend more time with the family, reduce stress, be more confident, and this one I'm going to need prayer with, because this has always been my number one, but I could never finish it past January 1st. And that is to lose weight and get in shape. Amen. And this has been my, since I got married, so y'all pray for me, okay? But all that's good. All the lists, everything that I name is good things to name, but I have a problem. And the problem is that statistics says that 80% of New Year's resolution fails by February. By February, that's January, February. We haven't even tapped the month yet. And so the question I need to ask myself is, why can't we finish what we start out to do? Okay? So if you allow me 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 2 seconds to preach to you today, I'll be out your way, right? Okay, 2 hours. Okay. All right. Listen. Moses, we're talking about Moses here, and some people know Moses and some people don't, so I'm going to go through a brief history of Moses. Moses was born, he was hidden, and Pharaoh's daughter picked him up and raised him in the palace. And listen, I'm giving you a trailer, and if you want the real movie, read the book. It's better than the movie, okay? And so after that, he was raised up in the palace, and then when he got older, he went out. And he seen that his people was getting mistreated, and he seen the Egyptian guy beating on his people. And so he boasted up and killed the guy and buried him. And then the next day he went out, and he thought that everybody knew what he did. And so he got scared, and Pharaoh found out. And so he fled into a wilderness by himself.
And while he was there, he heard some chickling and giggling and everything like that. And he seen that it was some ladies, maybe pretty ladies. And they was needing help. And so he went and helped them. And they ran home and told their dad. And their dad like, hey, go get the guy that helped you. Bring him to dinner. And he came. He went to dinner with them. And he ended up marrying one of them. And now he's working for his father-in-law. And so he's leading flocks of sheep. And he brings them to a mountain called Sinai. And that's where we are at right now. And so God gives Moses three simple instructions. Three. And see, when God speaks, he speaks simple stuff. We make it complicated. So God gave him three simple instructions, okay? So in verse 10, the first instruction that God gave Moses was, now go. I looked at that because I said, now go. He didn't give Moses time to prepare a speech. He didn't give Moses time to go to the gym, or back in the day, probably in the barn or something like that, to work out in case anything went down. He didn't even give Moses chance to get an army together. He tells him to go. When God gives us instructions to go, we look at our current situations, and we feel that we are not capable based upon what we look at in the mirror every day. Moses felt the same way. He felt like he was not capable of doing what God asked him to do. Moses had a stuttering problem. He killed somebody, buried him, and God yet called him to do something for him. Isn't the God that we serve? And so if you are taking mental notes, spiritual notes, I want you to jot this down. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. I'm going to say that again. Y'all probably missed that one. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. So whatever you think that you have done, if God calls you, you're qualified. Amen? Okay. So the second thing, that's simple. Now go. The second thing that he tells Moses, he says, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. Wait a minute. You want me to go. You're not giving me time to prepare. And now you want me to go to Pharaoh, the guy who tried to kill me, the guy who I ran away from. And we must understand who Pharaoh is and the spirit of Pharaoh, how it affects the church today. Pharaoh was an oppressor, tried to kill dreams. He was a distraction to purpose and identity, who you are in Christ. And his heart was so hardened that he was not able to hear from God because of his pride. Isn't it funny that when God sends you somewhere, it's never where you want to go? Maybe God could have sent Moses to Disney World. I don't know if they had a Disney World back then, but if he talked to me, I want to go to Disney World. I don't want to go somewhere to face my fears. But he told Moses that I need you to go to Pharaoh. The very same person that tried to kill Moses, God told him to go to. We will have enemies and haters. They will try to hinder us from doing what God has for us. But the mistake that we make is that we get upset with the enemy. But in actuality, we should be appreciating them because they are the ones that God is going to use to elevate you to the next level. Right? Okay. So for us to go forward sometimes, we must boldly face the very thing in our past telling us that we can't do what we can't do. We have faced our fears because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love. Okay, y'all know y'all scriptures. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Remember, it's not where you go, it's who you take with you. And so that's the two. That's the second thing. Now go to Pharaoh. And the third thing that he tells Moses is that I need you to lead my people out of Egypt. I'm going to let you on a secret. Did you know that you have someone counting on your obedience? Okay, y'all not going to talk to me anyway. I guess it's too cold outside probably. That's why. Your obedience to God is not only for you, but it's for the people that surround you. So if Moses never would have listened to God, now God would have did something, but imagine your check. You had a check and somebody put your name, $1 million on that check, and they scratched it out and gave it to somebody right next to you. But you had to spend your rest of your years under that person that had that $1 million, that which could have been yours. How would you have felt? I don't think we want to be in that situation. Most of the time, I laughed at this, Pastor. I really did. Because Moses was so concerned about how he was going to do this. But if you read in Exodus 1, can we put up Exodus 1 right quick? Exodus 1, and it reads this. He was so concerned about how he was going to do this. But Exodus 1 says, one day, Moses was tending the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro, and the priest of Midian. And he led the flock into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. He was already doing what God wanted him to do. He was in a spiritual boot camp. He was already, and see, when God calls us, do you know that we're already doing what God wants us to do? He just kind of shifts your direction and says, I need you to go that way. Amen? Most of the times, we have already been set up to do what God had called us to do. Okay? And so, if God would have gave Moses time to prepare, Moses would have relied on his own strength instead of the strength that who sent him. Three things, three simple things. Now go to Pharaoh, lead my people out of Egypt. So Moses said, okay, cool, God, I got you. How do I close the deal with your people? Who should I tell them who sent me? And God responded with, I am who I am. Brother Eric, can you come here for a second? Brother John, can you come here for a second? And I read this. I was like, wait a minute. Okay, I see what you're trying to do. Can you stand right here? Right here. You stand right there. Okay. Now, God told Moses, y'all watch this now. I promised myself I would never say watch this, but sound like one of the preachers. Watch this. Listen. I am who I am. But in the very next sentence, he only says, tell them I am sent you. Previous, he says, I am who I am. But in the next sentence, he says, I am sent you. So I asked God, why did you repeat yourself twice? But in the next sentence, you only said it one time. He said, son, listen to me. He said, I am who I am. I am who I am. I am, y'all missed that, right? I am who I am. If we stand right here in the middle of God, the who is us. Because he said that I will be, he said, I am that I am. So whatever you need God to be at that moment, he is that. But guess what? Turn around, Eric. If I follow I am, I'm going in the right direction. And I don't have to look behind me because I okay, y'all might get it. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the author and he's the finisher. He's the Old Testament and he's the New Testament. He came and led Egypt. He came and led his people out of Egypt. He died for our sins. Are you guys excited about that? I am who I am. And so whatever God needs to be, and even if we are not capable, if we need him to be a doctor, he's that. If we need him to be a lawyer in the courtroom, he's that. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Y'all guys look beautiful. Give them a hand. Whatever and whoever we need him to be, he will be that as long as we stay in the middle. So as I got 30 seconds left, we had a New Year's resolution, but I want you all to do me a favor. I just want you to kind of alter your New Year's resolution this year and for next year and the years to come. We're going to remove the R-E and resolution, and what we're going to do is I am the solution. Y'all get that? Because there's no continuation with God. Because if I take the R-E and replace it with I am, then he's the solution to every problem that you will have. He is the solution. And since we're talking about finishing strong, I'm done, y'all. I am the solution to finishing strong. Amen. I'm out of here. God bless. Hey.
Man, tough to follow that up. Jeez, don't have the voice. And you definitely, guys, you don't want me to do an illustrated sermon. Once I get started, you'll understand why. So I'm going to tell you guys a story. Happened about a month ago. Some of you guys already know. Usually I share my life stories on Wednesday nights for our youth kids just to, you know, get the blood pumping a little. So if you've ever had, if you've had a toddler in your life or you've babysat a toddler, you know what I'm about to tell you can be not a good thing. I was doing the dishes, just kind of relaxing. And then all of a sudden, I started thinking, I haven't heard a noise in a while. That's definitely not a good thing. And about the time that I look up, here comes my 2-year-old son running down the hall with a Q-tip on fire. I know. Don't look at me like that, guys. It's not Parent of the Year award material, but it is what it is. And if you guys know Gage personally, you know that's not a stretch for him. And that's probably not even the worst thing that could have happened. Don't worry. The fire was put out and the torch bearer was disciplined. But I started thinking about this situation as we were brainstorming the idea of finishing strong. And I just kept thinking about his face. Guys, the pure joy that was on his face when he was running with that Q-tip. He was getting away with it. And he was running to victory. And then mean old mom puts out the fire. But it made me think of something that I learned about in high school. And I'm going to share that, guys, with you this morning. There was a traditional relay race conducted in ancient Greece. It was called the Lampa de Dromia. And in this race, the runners were called torchbearers. They held a torch in their hand and they passed it on to the next runner until the final member of the team crossed the finish line. You see, the prize was not awarded to the fastest team. The prize was awarded to the first team to finish with the torch still lit. You see, bringing the fire from one place to another was far more important than the competitive element of the race. And once the finish line was crossed, the flame was then used to light other torches so that the games could go on. This is the race that starts the Olympics. Being a torchbearer is considered a great responsibility, and it's only given to those that are worthy of the task. Not only are you competing by running the race, but you also have the task of keeping the torch lit. Imagine being in the race and knowing the only way that your team can continue is if you keep that torch lit for your entire leg of the race. Otherwise, your team loses. So you're not really running so much against all the other runners. You're pretty much competing against the elements that want to put your flame out. One moment of distraction, a gust of wind, or a downpour of rain could put out your flame and end the race. End the race for you. That would be it. You can run fast, but if you don't tend the flame, allowing it to burn, you lose. So what I want to talk to you guys about this morning is that God has called each of us to be torchbearers for him. That torch is the light of the gospel. It's put into our hands and into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and it's ignited so that we can be a light in a dark and sinful world. Matthew 5:16 tells us, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Your light is the only way that people know. It's evidence. It's proof. Imagine if they were running that race, and like right when you got started, they give you this thing to put over your torch to keep that flame away from anything that could put it out. Any gust of wind wouldn't be able to put the flame out. A downpour of rain wouldn't even affect it. You make the race really easy, right? Piece of cake. I got this. But then would other people know if your flame was still alive under there? There would be no proof that there was a light under that box. And I feel like a lot of times we do that. It's really easy for us to hide who we are. Because we know that the minute that we put it out on a lampstand for the world to see, it makes us vulnerable. We're vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. We're vulnerable to persecution. We're vulnerable to all the things that people will expect of us if we say that we follow God. Because then all of a sudden we have to be perfect. And we don't like that, so we try to hide it. But that's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to be a light. And then he wants us to run with that light. And he wants us to pass it on to the next generation. To the next generation so that they will know the God that we serve. God first gave the Israelites a torch to bear. And what he asks of them in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, it applies to us too. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your heads and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorframe of your houses and on your gates. So that basically, guys, everyone, everywhere has every reason to know. It goes on to say in verse 20, and in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and the laws the Lord our God has commanded you, tell him. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And then down in verse 23, but he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised oath to our forefathers. He brought us from when we were slaves to children of a promise. He brought us from back there to here. You see, there was a whole generation of Israelite children that didn't know the bonds of slavery. They didn't know what it was like to see the plagues sent to Pharaoh to soften his heart. They didn't know what it was like to gain freedom only to get to the Red Sea and lose hope. But then the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. They weren't there. A whole generation of Israelite children, they weren't there. But they knew the story. They knew the story because someone took the time to talk to them, to impress it upon the next generation. They told them a story of God's great faithfulness. And that's all it was to them, was a story until it became real to them. Until they had an opportunity to see God's faithfulness. And they stood upon a promise. They stood upon a faithfulness. Because someone took the time, because someone kept their torch lit and passed it on. They passed it on from what was to what is, from back there to here. Just like some of you will take a torch from back there in your life when maybe you were captive to sin, maybe you had lost hope in God, but you'll bring it to here, to where you are now, to where you stand upon the faithfulness of God because he delivered you from that addiction. He delivered you from that depression. He delivered you from something. And you passing on the torch will take it to the next generation, over and over again. But you can't pass it on if your torch is not lit. Just like in the race, there are many obstacles in life that get in our way, situations that knock us off course. Marital discord, financial stress, depression, sorrow over losing a loved one. Guys, life's just tough sometimes. It's not easy. Everyday things in life can be overwhelming. This happens to all of us. It happens to me. I know when it happens to me. I had a week like this. Normally, I'll be honest, I love Christmas. But this year, I just didn't have it in me. We were Grinch, huh? We were, and it's horrible to say, but we just had a few days where life was just a little too much. And I get that way, and I don't have the patience with my kids that I normally do, or my poor husband has to deal with the nagging when I feel this way. And when I'm like this, I hear something in the back of my mind. I hear this little voice. The Holy Spirit starts to speak to me, and it's like what Paul says to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 7. He says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? And I think of that in the back of my head, like, man, I was doing so good. Who cut in on me? Who distracted me? Who took my eyes off of the prize? Sometimes things in life just put out our flame. The Apostle Peter, this happened to him. You know, I think it's funny, he's commended for walking on water. But was that the whole story? No, that's not the whole story. Matthew 14:29. Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." He was doing really good till he saw the wind. But here's the thing, the wind was there the whole time. Earlier in the chapter, it tells us the boat was a considerable distance from the land because the wind was against it. The wind was there when he first saw Jesus. The wind was there when he first took a step of faith and got out of the boat. The wind was even there when he first started walking on water. But it's not until he paid it too much attention that it did him in. There will always be something trying to distract you, something trying to put out your flame, because the flame's important. The enemy knows that, so he's going to do whatever it takes to put it out. But there's a verse, I keep it on my office here at the church, I keep it on my office at home, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The first part of that verse, guarding your heart, that's where the treasure is, that's where the flame lives. That's important. But the second part, it's the wellspring of life. You know what I think about when I hear that? Other lives depend upon your life and what you do with it. Life comes of you to the next person. Other torchbearers are depending on your flame because without it, they can't start their race. So after I put out Gage's Q-tip flame, I went to investigate just so we could make sure this doesn't happen again. Now you guys know why this was not an illustrated sermon. I think Pastor Scott might have killed me. So what he had done is the laundry basket that was in the closet in his room, he'd gotten that out, taken it to the bathroom, turned it over, used it as a step stool. Gets up on it, takes the Q-tips out of the container that were up on the counter, and then he takes it over to the entryway, turns it back over again as a stool, gets up on a dresser, and puts it in a candle that he was not supposed to be able to reach, mind you. I've learned my lesson. He had to go through a lot of effort to light his little Q-tip torch. I even found about 4 discarded Q-tips in the bathroom sink because apparently those just didn't take the first time. You know, they didn't burn bright enough for him. Do you hear what I'm telling you this morning? He had to go through a lot of effort to get that torch lit. It takes a lot of effort just to ignite the flame sometimes, guys. But it takes greater effort to keep it lit. It takes a lot of effort to keep your flame burning for God. The torchbearers in the race, they didn't get a relight. When their flame went out, the race was over. They just let their entire team down. But you get a relight over and over again. Will you keep trying? Will you keep relighting the flame until it takes, until you finally get it right? You are the torchbearer for this leg of the race. The responsibility is yours. Sorry, I don't know if you guys wanted a message that was just like, oh, no, the responsibility is yours. It's not about when you finish the race. We will all finish. Death is something none of us can escape. We're all going to end up at the same place, just at different times. But it's about how you finish the race. Hebrews 10:35-39. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. It's not given to those who start out strong and then the flame goes out. No, they're weak. They don't have what it takes. But we are not those. We are the strong. And I pledge today to keep every hope alive. The story's not going to end with me. I'm not going to be the one that loses for my team. I will keep hope alive. Will you? When my leg of the race is over, my torch, it's going to be burning bright. Will yours?
Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I am the solution. Now turn to somebody else and say, who I am is a torchbearer. And some of y'all like this. Turn to the third person and say, keep it lit. You got to turn to somebody and say, keep it lit. Keep it lit. There you go. All right. I'll explain what all this is for here in just a minute. You'll see. Y'all having a good time this morning? Man, I tell you what, I am so thankful for each and every person on our staff. I'm so glad that we have such an amazing staff, as Pastor Scott mentioned earlier. And I asked him, I said, if you could, you know, say, like, what's the bottom line of your message, what would it be? And that's, you know, kind of what they gave me. So I wanted to make sure you caught that this morning. I am the solution. He is the one that gives us the solution. He is the solution. He is all that we need. And he has called us to be torchbearers. But you know, in this race of life, like, a lot of times we go running about life and we're sometimes down and out, and sometimes things are going really well, as Pastor Heather mentioned, and things seem to be going pretty good. But as we're running our race, a lot of times, often what happens when you're running, at least with me anyways, I don't know, maybe you're more fit than I am, but when I'm running, I tend to, like, get short of breath. Has that happened to anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. See, we get so busy in our lives that oftentimes we forget to do one simple thing. We forget to do this. We forget to just breathe. Before we go deep in the scripture that I want to share with you this morning, that see what God wants to say to us through what he has asked me to preach to you this morning, I want to ask, can we just take a moment and just catch our breath? Would that be all right? Can we just, I mean, like, Christmas is over, you know, like Leslie was talking about. It's been quite the year. We've had some ups. We've had some downs. And there's only one more day left till the new year comes. And it's going to come with its own set of challenges and its own new beginnings. And before we face all that, can we just breathe? Can you just take a deep breath right now? Just come on, do it again. Let's take a deep breath. Come on, one more, real deep. Do you feel it? There's something real scientific about breathing. I know that may come as a shock to some of you. It's very scientific. Get this, when you take a deep breath, it actually changes the pH levels in your body. That's a sciencey word for means it makes you better. When you breathe, it actually changes your blood pressure and it dampens the production of stress hormones just by breathing, just by. Come on, let's take one more deep breath. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. And as you're finding it, I'll give you just a bit of context about this story. Ezekiel and the Israelites had just suffered the fall of the Jerusalem Empire. Or they fell to the rule of the Chaldean Empire, led by none other than a guy named King Nebuchadnezzar. Growing up, we used to call him Nebi. I mean, any VeggieTales fans, you know, Nebi? Yeah, we used to call him Nebi. And I imagine that the Israelites, they must have felt so alone, so defeated, like they had nothing left to live, like there was nothing more, no more hope remaining. They had just lost their job, they lost their home, they lost their morale in a big battle, they lost everything, and they were cast out of their land. And God shows up, and he gives Ezekiel a vision. We pick up in verse 1, it says this, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and then I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley,
bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make my breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath into them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Can we pray for just a minute? God, I just pray, Lord, as we take each and every breath this morning, God, that we would recognize the true I am that is living within us. Help us to focus in this morning, God, as we go, as we learn about finishing strong and we enter into a new year, God, with a mighty battle, a mighty army at our feet. In your name we pray. Amen. See, everybody has life to deal with, struggles to deal with. I mean, some of us trying to get into 2019 with just dead weight on us, just battles that we faced, things that we've tried to overcome in 2018, obstacles that we've been challenged by, things that we've been measured by. We've been doing all this stuff in 2018, and we're trying to take that into 2019, but we've sort of like just kind of left it alone. We're like, okay, we overcame that. That was cool, God. We did that. That's good. I got the T-shirt. It's all good. I'm just going to leave it there, God. We've got maybe bones of deception or bones of bad relationships, or maybe bones of dead life, or maybe it's financial dead bones, as Pastor Heather was talking about. What are the bones of your 2018? And he shows Ezekiel this valley of death, these dried up bones. I mean, there was nothing left on them. These bones were so dry, like you could put water on them and water would just roll off because they're just totally dry. They won't even soak up anything. And Ezekiel was probably thinking, yep, this is exactly where we're heading, God. This is it for us, God. Thanks for showing me this valley of dry bones. That's exactly where we're going. 2019 is not going to be any better than 2018. It's just going to be a valley of dry bones. It's just going to be more obstacles, more struggles, more things that I'm going to have to overcome. But God says, no. Hold on one second, Ezekiel. I want to show you something. I want you to speak breath into these bones. Turn to two people and say, just breathe. That was one person. Turn to somebody else and say, just breathe. There you go. Just breathe. See, the word breath here in Hebrew is ruach. This word actually means the very breath of God. It's the very word that comes from his mouth. It's the life-giving word, and it's the same ruach that we see in Genesis when God created everything and all the earth and all the universe. When he spoke things into existence was the word ruach. And when he spoke, when he created Adam, and when he formed him out of the ground, and when he breathed into him, it was ruach. It's the very breath of the living God, the God who breathed life at the beginning of creation, the God who spoke existence into being. That God is here right now. And every time that you take a breath, he's breathing life into your dead bones. And he's speaking to them and he's saying, rise up and walk into 2019, not with death, but with life. I want to ask you again, what are your dry bones of 2018? So verse 10 says, so I prophesied as he commanded me. Remember what Leslie said at the beginning. God gives us simple commands. He prophesied as he commanded me. And breath, ruach, came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now, the thing about armies are strong. I grew up an army brat. I loved every bit of growing up an army brat for the first 20 years of my life. I was an army brat, and it was just the greatest thing. Well, it wasn't really 20 years because he was in like 5 years. So like, we'll go with 15. It's like 15 years. And I brought with me here today my dad's army uniform. Now, if memory serves me correct, this was his uniform when he was a chief warrant officer, second class. And my dad, I love my dad. He served 20 years in the military, and I'm so proud of his accomplishments. And one of my favorite things to do was my dad would run PT every day. Now, if you're an Army or military person, you know what that is. For those of you who don't know, it's physical training. It's what most of us try to do in January and stop doing by February. But my dad did PT every single day. And on Saturdays, he would ask me to come with him. And I loved it. I loved doing this. I loved running PT with him. And Chase, I apologize right now because you're going to have to follow me with the camera. So just kind of hang with me, bud. But I would follow my dad and do this PT. Now, when you did PT along the path, there was this great path you'd follow along. And along the path, there were these obstacles that you would have to do. And there was like a little sign, and it would tell you what to do so you know how to do it. And it was all part of the training because eventually you would have to take a PT test, which you had to overcome and do all these obstacles in under a certain amount of time. And so I'd go running with my dad. Now, I hated running, y'all. I did not like running. It was the worst thing to me in the world. Totally hated running. But I loved PT because there were obstacles. There were challenges along the way. See, I'm a person who loves challenges. That's how I do better, how I get better, how I get stronger. I like challenges. And so we'd run along. We'd come to the first obstacle, and I'd be like, okay, you got to do 50 push-ups. All right.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Right? And you just keep going. 4. And I remember at first, I'd be like, okay, this is hard. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, God, but, like, okay, I'll just stop there because I don't want to, like, make y'all feel embarrassed or nothing. But I'd be like, okay, first Saturday, whew, all right, I got, like, 2 push-ups. You know, I was, like, 8 years old, right? Like, I couldn't handle it.
But we do it every Saturday. And every Saturday, I'd get stronger. And every Saturday, I'd get better. And I'd be able to do more. And more push-ups. See, and now there are other obstacles, too. So, Chase, I'm going to go this way. You're going to have to follow me. Yeah, he's doing the live stream. So, sorry, Chase. There'd be, like, these wood planks. I'm going to use the altar as my wood plank this morning, okay? And on these wood planks, this little challenge, I don't remember what it was called, but what you had to do is you had to post your hand, and you had to hop over. So you go like this. And you had to do it, like, 50 times. You're like, okay, I got this. And I remember at first time I did it, I slipped and I hit my head on the wood. Hurt like crazy. Did not want to do that one again. But next Saturday, I did. I did it again, and I got better, and I got stronger, and I was able to do more each and every time. I'm going to go this way, Chase. Now, then they would have these ones that were like balance obstacles. Now, I'm not going to climb on that wall and do a balance thing for you because I want to hurt myself. So I'm pretend like this is it. And they were so small, though, like you would barely be able to fit your foot on the width of the wood beam. And they'd curve, and you'd go, okay, I got this, right? And it would turn on you, and then it would, like, turn back. You're like, okay, I got this. This is good. All right, this is easy. I remember I could do that one. I could balance. I was good at balancing. I loved that one. That was great. But then we'd run along. We'd get to the path. Sawyer, I'm going to need your help. Come here, Sawyer. Come up on the stage. Come up on the stage behind the speaker right here. Now this one, for some of y'all, this like the hardest one. This was for me. They called this the belly buster. And what you had to do, there'd be a beam so high, like this didn't even do it justice. You'd have to jump up and lift yourself up. And they called it belly buster because when you jumped up, you'd hit your belly on the wood. And you'd have to climb over it. So I'm going to have you hold the mic, but because I don't want to drop the mic and damage it. All right? Here we go. And you'd go like that. You want to try it? Remember, I'm 8 years old, y'all. Like, I'm like this tall, and I'm trying to get up there. But you know what? My dad with me. The first few times, he'd lift me up. Okay. I got this, Dad. All right, I can pull myself over. The next couple times I got stronger, and he'd just post me up. So he'd give me like a knee, and I'd kind of spring off of his knee, and I'd do it on my own. And, you know, these obstacles, each one had their own set of, either it was a strength endurance, it would build your strength, or it would build your endurance. And each one had its own set of challenges. And each one, some were easy, and some were hard. And, you know, in the obstacles of life, some of our obstacles are easy, and some of them are hard. And at first, I would struggle with different obstacles. I would always, you know, I'd be good at, like, the pull-ups, because I had some good upper body strength. I was good at the balancing. But I remember the feeling that I would get in the victory of each challenge as each week I would go out with my dad and I would get stronger and I would get better and I'd get faster and I'd be able to do those challenges and I'd be able to overcome those obstacles. It was addicting and I just loved every single minute of it. I think I take a second to breathe. Listen, everyone has obstacles to overcome in life. Some will be easy, some are going to be hard. Here's what God's speaking to us this morning. Every obstacle you face in your life has a purpose. Some are going to be easy. Some are going to be hard. Some will be there to make you stronger. Some will be there to help you get some endurance. But each and every single obstacle that you faced ever in your life has served a purpose. And it still to this day holds a purpose. But the problem is we've let them become dry bones. See, we face some great things in our lives, and some things, man, they really, they cut deep. They were hard. We struggled. Some things were a little bit easy, and we were like, okay, I got this. But God said to Ezekiel, Ruach, speak life into these dry bones. And you know what happened? Throw verse 10 up there again. He spoke life into them, and they stood up and became a vast army. I don't know about you, church, but I'm ready to walk out of 2018 and into 2019 with a strong army at my back and the breath of God going forth. God wants to speak life into your situations. He wants to speak life into the obstacles of your past so that they will become an army that will propel you into the future. Are you with me, church? God wants to take your dry bones, the things that were holding you back, the disappointments, maybe even the dreams that you once forgotten. He wants to breathe life back into them so that they will be an army, a great army to take you into 2019. Come on. Somebody say, God wants to give you an army. Now, you can bring those dry bones back to life, but they're not truly alive until they're infused with the Spirit of God. I'm about to take this to a whole new level for some of y'all. Verse 6 said this, I will put my breath in you. Verse 9 said, come breath from the four winds and breathe into the slain that they may live. See, this word breath, this word ruach, also carries the meaning Spirit of God. We see it later in verse 14 where it says, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. See, the ability to bring dry bones back to life, to start this process, it begins with us being obedient to what God is calling us to do. And we can speak life because we have the Spirit of God in us, but we must recognize that it is the I am who is living in us who brings things back to life and makes them useful again. It's the Spirit of the living God. He's living inside of you. You know, the sound of this word breath, this word ruach, actually comes, the Hebrew, if you actually say it in Hebrew, it sounds a little bit like this. Some of y'all might know it better in English. It sounds like this. Yahweh. Did you catch that? See, when the obstacles of our life are coming over us, when we feel down and it seems like we have no life left, like the obstacles that we were once facing have no purpose anymore in our lives, if we're struggling to figure out how to stay strong and how to be strong in the next year, can I tell you this morning that you can You can speak life into your situation, and the Spirit of God who is living in you, the I Am, will bring it back to life and form out of it a great army to help you, propel you into victory. And all you got to do is breathe. Because when you breathe, you're speaking the breath of God, and you're actually calling upon His name, Yahweh. Yahweh. That's how you finish strong, church. That's how you walk out of 2018 with the realization that I Am is the solution. That God wants to breathe life into your dry bones. Like, it might not seem very intuitive, but in order for you to be a torchbearer, you just got to breathe. To carry that torch on forward, you just need to breathe. That's all God's getting you to do. It doesn't have to be that difficult. It doesn't have to be that hard. We don't have to make it complicated. All we have to do is just breathe. And when we breathe, a great army built out of the obstacles that once held us back, our dry bones will rise up, and it will build a great army that's going to propel us into the future. Just breathe. Just breathe. Bow your heads with me. Father God, I just thank you for who you are. You are the great I Am. You are the Alpha, the Omega, and the one who calls us to be torchbearers as we go into 2019 and finish out this year, 2018, God. God, I just want to pray right now. Lord, if there's anyone here who has faced some obstacles in 2018, God, I just want to take a minute to pray for them. Church, if you face some obstacles in 2018, would you just signify that? This morning, would you just signify those dry bones this morning just by raising your hand? You faced some obstacles. You had some dry bones in 2018. Hands going up all across the room. You faced some things this year. Maybe even there were good things, but you just kind of left them be, and you thought they were, that's all that needed to be. But you faced some, you had some obstacles. Maybe some were easy. Maybe some were hard. I just want to pray for you this morning. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the very breath that you've given us, God. Lord, as we take in a deep breath, every time we breathe, God, we're fulfilling this idea, this thought that, God, Lord, when we breathe, we're calling upon the great I Am, the living God, to breathe life into our dead bones and to bring them back to life so that they will form an army that will build us stronger and help us finish this great race, to help us to continue to be torchbearers. Because, God, I don't know about others in this church, God, but I don't want to go about this walk and this race of life alone. I don't want to carry the torch myself, God. I want an army to go with me. I thank you, Father. I thank you for each and every person that's here today. I thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. God, as we get ready to go from this place here in just a moment, but God, as we remember you and the sacrifice you made in communion, God, I just pray that you would touch each and every heart and each and every mind this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.